The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's begin.
When I was 21, I made the poor decision to move out of my parents' house before I could afford a place on my own. It was something I had actually planned out for months, searching for cheap apartments, roommates, and anything that could help me move out. For some reason, I just prioritized moving out on my own over everything else. After months of searching, I found a post on Facebook about a room for rent in my area. It was a two-bedroom house, and the owner was renting out the second bedroom. I sent him a message on Facebook and got a reply in minutes. He asked a couple of questions, then sent over a document. It looked like a huge list of rules for moving in, all simple stuff that's pretty much common sense. After agreeing to all the rules, he let me come over to look at the room that same day. When I got there, I was very surprised at how clean and well put together the place was. It looked like it was a model house, so perfectly decorated and furnished. The owner, Terry, was a little bit weird, though. He was in his late 20s, but his personality and looks didn't match the way the house looked. He was wearing a dirty t-shirt and just had a weird way of talking. Still, I was blinded by the possibility of moving out that I didn't even care. A week later, I packed up a rental van with my stuff and drove it down to the house. When I walked inside, I almost thought I'd walked into the wrong house. It was so empty, no decorations or furniture, except for an old couch in the living room. It was a completely different looking place than the one I'd seen the first time. Terry was standing there and acted like nothing was different, talking my ear off about how excited he was to have a roommate. I asked about all the furniture and everything, but he basically ignored my question and just went straight to moving my stuff into the house. Being a little weirded out, I still moved in. Several weeks went by, and to be honest, I rarely even saw Terry. He was always working and didn't get home until late at night. But about a month in, I started realizing that Terry had stopped coming home most nights. It was maybe once a week I'd hear him get home around 2 or 3 a.m. He'd hang around downstairs for a while, then leave and wouldn't show up for another week or so. Part of me didn't care, because I was happy to have the house to myself, but another part of me was curious about what he was up to. I mean, he wanted me to move in so bad, but now he's never here. Then, one night at 2 a.m., weeks since I'd last seen Terry, I was woken up to him banging on my bedroom door and yelling my name. I got up and rushed over. Terry was standing in the doorway, with sweat dripping from his head and a look of anger. "Do not leave your room," he said in a harsh voice, then grabbed the door and ripped the handle out of my hands, slamming it shut. I stood there in shock, listening to him walk downstairs. I opened the door quietly, and after a few seconds, I heard the sound of him dragging something heavy across the floor and into the garage. I ran downstairs to see what was going on. There was a smear of mud and dirt going across the kitchen and leading up to the garage door. I tried to open it, but he'd somehow locked it from inside. I realized it was best to just remove myself from the situation and ran out to my car, driving away while calling the cops. When they got to the house, Terry was already gone and the smears on the floor had been cleaned up. After some days of investigating, it turned out that Terry was actually renting the house from someone else, so I wasn't even allowed to have legally moved in, and all the documents he sent me and had me sign were fake. Terry likely wasn't his real name either, and as far as I know, he never showed back up after that. I don't know for sure what he was up to, but he was so adamant about me staying in my room that night, and with him vanishing afterward, he clearly had something horrible he was hiding. But what really confuses me is why he wanted me to move into the house and live with him so badly. I can't help but think that he had some sort of plans for me, and I barely got out of there without having to find out the hard way.
Let's begin.
3 years ago, I moved down a few states on the East Coast to a new city. Due to work and money, I couldn't make the trip to see the place before making the move, but I was only renting, so there wasn't too much risk in it. It was mid-September when the movers came and loaded everything up, then dropped it off at the house. The landlord was nice enough to let the movers in for me to unload, because I wasn't actually arriving there until the following week. It was a Monday evening when I finally arrived and saw the house in person for the first time. It was a mess with boxes everywhere and furniture laying all around, but the house itself was all right. The layout was interesting in that it was very separated. It was a single story with the kitchen and living room on one side of the house. Then on the other side was a long hallway with all the bedrooms and bathrooms. Started working on getting the bed put together. Then shut off all the lights and went to sleep. I didn't have a clock set up yet, so I don't know what time it was, but in the middle of the night, I woke up to an odd sound. I thought it was a noise the house was making, but I wanted to see what it was and if it was something I needed to let the landlord know about. I got up and walked over to the bedroom door. As I got closer, though, I realized it was coming from somewhere down the hallway. I opened the door, and it stopped almost instantly. The hallway was pitch black, so I flicked on the light, but nothing was there. I slowly walked down and peered into the living room. It looked the same as it had earlier, but I turned on the lights and looked around, just to be sure. On the floor, there were a lot of footprints scattered between the boxes that were laying around. I knew it was likely from the movers, and with no other signs of anything, I went back to the bedroom. It took a while for me to fall asleep again because I kept thinking about how the sound stopped as soon as I opened the door. I tried to come up with any possible way this could be the house making noises, but nothing came to mind. When I drifted back asleep, it felt like I only stayed asleep for a minute before I was woken up by a sudden thump, followed by footsteps running down the hallway. My eyes shot open, and I looked over at my bedroom door. The door was wide open, and on the ground were clear footprints coming right up to my bed. I got up and hurried to see who was there, but by then they were long gone. All that was left were scuffed prints from them running away. I got my phone and called the police, locking myself in the bathroom until they arrived. When they did, they oddly found no signs of a break-in aside from the footprints. I convinced myself that they must have gained access during the week before I arrived at the house. But something still didn't sit right with me. After unpacking and checking each box, nothing seemed to be missing. It obviously makes me wonder what they were even doing in the house, but the biggest mystery is, why did they walk up to my bed and what was that thump sound that I heard just before they ran away? The landlord was eager to allow me to break the contract and move out so long as I didn't say anything about the break-in publicly. At the time, it sounded like he just didn't want anyone to be scared away from the house so that he wouldn't miss out on his rental income. But now, I'm not so sure.
Let's begin.
When I was very young, something really scary happened. There was a gun in the back of my parents' truck, and it accidentally went off. So the bullet went through my mom's wrist and then through my left foot. But luckily, I still have my foot, and I was okay. Now let's jump ahead 34 years to March 2018. I was dealing with a really bad ear infection and couldn't sleep because my head hurt so much. On other end, my fiancé Steve, who works in construction, takes sleeping pills to help him sleep. One Thursday night, we went to bed because Steve had to wake up early for work on Friday. I was finally getting better from the ear infection, so this night, I was sleeping really deeply for the first time in days. But I woke up to a noise. At first, I thought Steve was just getting up for the bathroom or something. So I went back to sleep. But then I heard shouting. I was still half asleep and not really thinking. Few minutes later, I heard more shouting. I jumped out of bed and stood up in the dark. Then I realized it was Steve yelling. I was confused and thought maybe the police were in our house or something, but the first words my brain actually understood were, "Give me the money." I was like, "Wait, what? The police don't shout that. What's happening?" Steve is completely naked, running at these attackers, and then he slams our bedroom door, trying to stop them from getting to where I am. These guys are trying to force the door open, and Steve keeps slamming it shut. Suddenly, I start hearing loud noises. These guys are actually shooting at us. I see Steve moving around the room like Spider-Man, trying not to get hit by a bullet, but also keeping our door closed so they can't reach me. I hear Steve yelling, "Get the gun, get the gun." And I'm wondering, how would I go after these intruders and try to get their gun? As I mentioned, I was sleeping really hard and my brain was not working well. Finally, I realized Steve is talking about getting our gun. Yeah, I'm not very smart. So I turn on the light, grab our gun, and give it to Steve. But the intruders, who are really terrible people, have already run out the same way they came in, through the back door. Later, it turns out, our not-so-smart roommate didn't lock the back door. Anyway, I'm shaking and almost hysterical now. But Steve got grazed by 2 of the 6 bullets that were shot at us. I spent a whole month taking care of his wounds and helping him get better. We also got a dog and installed a home security system. Sometimes, I still put a chair under the doorknob at night, and I haven't had a good night's sleep in about 2 years. Most nights, Steve would have slept through anything because of his meds, and I would have woken up to the danger. But by some miracle, he heard them first. He protected me and himself like a true hero. He was supposed to be in Florida until the next week, but came home early. I shudder to think about what those 2 armed robbers might have done to A. Sleeping deeply and not knowing they were there until it was too late. Sometimes I feel like I'm cursed, or that the people who love me the most always end up taking a bullet for me. First my mom went through it, and now my fiancé has too. It really scares me to think that anyone close to me goes through these gunshot situations just because they're close to me. To those terrible intruders who broke into my house and took away my feeling of safety.
Thank you for being here when you have so many other options.